snap back after I have kids and that everything is all situated and organized so that all you have to do is come home with your d*** in your hand and eat the meal that I made you. Yeah. I don't think so. I'm so sorry. This is unrelated, but I love when you wear pants like this and they're like a little bit too big and then they do the thing where it looks like you have a little penis.
My penis has never done that. I'll be honest. Not to dash your dreams.
No. I'm not saying it, but look, see how it's like all folded?
Yeah, I guess
you put your shirt over it and like, look how ridiculous.
If you were doing, I mean, it would be really high up. It's like coming out of your belly button. If you're okay with that, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe it translates better when you have low rise jeans on, but I like the little fold. I think it's so funny looking. It's funny.
Also, I must have a little. I ate spicy food again. Why do I keep doing this to myself?
I don't know. Oh, okay, can I just tell you guys?
So good.
Yeah. Okay, that's very nice, and that's like a normal food. But what Aaron had for dinner last night? Do you want to tell the class about what you ate
for
dinner?
No, it's a menu item. It's not like I ordered something special.
No,
it's
I know.
So good, but exactly
it's
what I want.
Wild.
It's called the 911 burrito.
Yeah. Which what does it have in it?
Jalapenos.
That's like it.
No, it has chicken and onions and jalapenos, but it's like nice long slices. It's like fajitas, but with jalapenos. But they keep them so hot.
Yeah.
Like they're so fucking spicy, but they don't put anything else in there. I'm like, I'm getting
because there's nothing else in there. Because that's a wild thing to order.
But also, I think it's crazy because, again, I don't even like eating food.
Yeah.
I like having substances to transport condiments.
Yeah. You do. Because
I essentially like kill
and
half
also
a tub,
spicy things.
Half a tub of sour cream. To eat this burrito. Like, I have to have the sour cream to eat the burrito.
But I'm
but, like,
the healthy
it's so
one.
Good. Huh? It's peppers and chicken.
No, I know. But it's just funny because you're, like, putting a half tub of sour cream on your burrito.
Oh.
And everyone's
the sour cream.
Mickey must be so unhealthy. I bet she just eats a bunch of fucking, like, butter on a stick. And you're out here being, like, with a spoon eating sour cream as your meal.
I need it. I like it. Okay.
No, I think that's totally valid. That's, like, a very normal human thing. It's just funny that people love to throw the book at me for being unhealthy and like, have you met this man?
I have to resist the urge.
Have you seen him eat?
Okay.
What?
I have to resist the urge to not put hot sauce in the sour cream too because the Chipotle Tabasco and sour cream
elite.
Is literally
an elite
the
experience.
Best. If you haven't had it, go change that. I
go
promise
get it.
You. It's the perfect amount of hot. Like I said, every culture has their hot food, their
it's
hot
really
sauce
good.
And a cooling element.
Yes.
Mayonnaise.
Okay,
buffalo sauce.
But can
no,
we talk about,
and...
okay, what is the cooling element in, like, Japanese food? Because we have
mayonnaise.
This... But you can't put mayonnaise in, like, ramen that's too hot.
No, you're right. Japanese, what is Japanese?
Because, no, I think that's, you're probably correct. But, like, what do you do? Because, like,
in liquid food,
with,
though,
like,
it's hard.
Mexican soup, if it's too hot, you put
sour cream in
it. You know? But, like, what do you do if you
well,
have soup that's too spicy,
I think
it's but it's,
the
like...
Base. Is what makes, I don't know.
Do you just add more broth, I guess?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't know.
Please help us. Because this has happened to us more than once. We're like, we'll order ramen from a takeout place or like, we'll make soup at home and it's too spicy. And then I'm like, I don't know what to do.
I don't know how to cool off Asian food.
You just like sort of, I don't know, muscle through.
Because sriracha and mayo in my heart goes together.
Yes. But
sour
can
cream
you,
and hot
I
sauce.
Feel putting mayo in soup.
Buffalo
like,
sauce and ranch.
Ramen feels wrong. That doesn't feel right.
No. I would never. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
How
please
do you cool
please
off ramen?
Advice.
Because there's a place
give
here that
advice.
Has such good, they have that spicy broth ramen, and it tastes so good.
Yeah.
But I can't drink. The broth is so
no,
hot.
No, it's so hot.
It's so hot. Like, also, it comes with the fried chicken.
Sniffing
oh,
it makes
so
my nose all, that's not for
what's
me.
What's that seasoning that makes your tongue go numb?
I think it happens with Sichuan peppercorns.
Is that what it is?
A
those
lot.
Are crazy.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't
yeah,
like that
yeah, we got hot pot one time, and you got the spicy broth. And you had a bellyache for days.
I have a sensitive stomach.
A sensitive tummy.
A sensitive tummy. But I think that also might be because of the hot food.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't think you really have actually that sensitive of a stomach. I think it's that you will push the limits of your biology with spicy food and then be like, surprise me, get you
like
when
it so
hurts
much.
You.
I did learn my lesson after the wings that one time, though. We don't need to get into that. I got the second from the farthest, the hot wings.
Oh, God.
It wasn't the Carolina Reaper ones. It was something
else. No, we went to a bar that's, or not a bar, it's like a pub
best
by
wings
our house.
In town. Best wings in town.
Because they have Wing Wednesday and they're like $1 a wing, which is like a pretty good deal, I feel. And they have like the menu. Like the flavors, they have a bunch of flavors all listed on this like gradient of like least hot to most hot. And we ordered, I think it was like hummingbird something or other. It was like a dry rub.
Yours was, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, this can't be that bad. You know, it's got like two peppers next to it. But like, it's also too, like, context is that Tucson is like a very, like, pretty heavily populated with Mexican people.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of retirees and like white people here. So there's a lot of Mexican food that sometimes is like, watch out.
Some restaurants, it's yeah, so don't do spicy. A good job.
And
yeah.
then you're like, is it though? Yeah, and you order it and it's like totally fine. So I was banking on that assumption. And then we got them and I took one bite and I was like, oh no. No, 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 no.
It's like that thing like when you do the cinnamon challenge.
Yeah.
Because they were coated. Obviously, like, I would never complain about them being coated well. But yeah. also like literally just like
the dry rub, yeah, you could like blow it off of their like confetti. There was so much of it. And so you ate all of my super, super, super spicy wings and it wrecked your stomach. But
and I have not done that again and I won't do that again.
Which honestly, I commend you for that. You learned your lesson. And isn't that really the goal of life?
I think that is the life. And speaking of learning life,
I was going to say that.
You want to say it at the same time?
Speaking of life lessons. I was going to say, speaking of someone who refuses to learn from their.
Okay, perfect. Can I start this section? I also think, because I got my
We're going to talk about Ethan from Plathville. Prepare yourselves.
This is going to be a long, we're going to use Ethan as an example.
Yeah, we're going to make an example out of this man.
I'm so sorry. I was having some reflections on this.
Ooh, and I think I'd like love
to
that.
Begin, I would like to begin this passage with a reading real quick. Yeah, I think a lot less people would be religious if they could just
from
have
Mark
really loud
23,
speakers.
From Mark 23:4. That was a Catholic joke and you didn't pick that up.
I didn't pick it up. I apologize.
Remember when we had to go to church and they would do the readings and you just have to sit there and go... Listen to someone. Yeah, you went to mass with me a few times.
Oh, yeah. When I used to go to church regularly with my parents when I was younger, I would go and sit in the bathroom for like 15 minutes. Like, I would literally go in the bathroom and just like tear toilet paper off. And
like, stop!
I don't know why no one said anything. I'd be in the bathroom for a long time. I would just like walk up and down the hallway.
While this kid's shitting.
Yeah, I have vivid memory. I'd just be walking up and down the hallway. Also, churches always be having the coldest AC. That shit would be so nice.
My parents would have whooped my ass.
Yeah, no, I would just be like, God. Oh, gotta go. And I would just go disappear for like 15 minutes.
No, my mom would have come and found me in the bathroom and we would have had words.
I can't tell if it's either that thing where it felt like more time when I was a kid. But like, no. I would be exploring because the church is like the middle and then there's like a U for like the outside hallways and stuff into the classrooms and stuff.
Oh my God.
What?
You were just wandering around and no one found
you? Is that not normal?
You?
No, because everyone was in church where they were supposed to be.
No.
It was the best time to use the bathroom and explore.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Please, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Be more engaged, you know?
That was absolutely not my experience. I would get dirty looks from my mom if I was, like, not looking like I was paying rapt enough attention.
No.
It was really...
When we were one step away from the Game Boy.
When we were, like, little, to be fair, they did let us bring coloring books and stuff so that we would just be fucking quiet.
Yeah.
But... So they weren't, like, really being, like, the worst about trying to make us absorb things. Like, my mom told me horror stories about growing up when they would get out of mass. Her parents, mostly her dad, would be like, what'd you learn today? If they didn't have a good answer that was, like, related to mass, then, like, they had words. And so they didn't do that to us growing up, but they were still pretty litigious or, like, legalistic about us, like, there are rules, like, pay attention.
No.
I would not have gotten away with that. That's incredible. I love that
I'm
for
glad
you,
I did
punk.
That. Yeah, I think I just knew it wasn't for me from the beginning.
That's so cute. Okay, I'm so sorry.
No.
Please tell us about your reflections on Ethan.
Also, I didn't realize the title. I would like to share a passage from Father Time by Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it's Father Time, like spending time with your father, mm-hmm. but also Father Time.
Yeah.
Like... God damn,
Kendrick
probably the smartest person.
Kendrick Lamar is a poet laureate. I feel like people should really like respect that more.
I think, and when also people talk about like them having like there's college classes, dedicated to
the man is a fucking Pulitzer.
It's crazy. This
it's
is amazing.
Incredible,
literally incredible. And till then, let's give the women a break. Grown men with daddy issues.
Oh, it's Ethan. Hello,
it's Ethan. And actually, really,
and also mommy issues
in
too.
In so many ways, a lot of us. And I think really this is where we get to the labor part. I think so. I know today we're going to discuss the 4B movement.
Yes.
We are doing our best to keep stuff locked in. We do our best, but it's a conversation.
Also, yeah, we're gay and neurodivergent. I don't know what you want from me.
We're doing our best.
There are other pieces of content, both on this channel and on the internet broadly, that don't do what we do, which is lose the plot like 3 times a minute. So if you don't like that, I think that's totally fine. You're allowed to not like it. But I'm not going to put a leash on myself when I'm my boss.
You are the boss.
I make my own rules.
Am I the boss too or no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, here you are.
Fuck yeah.
I got a whole master's degree so that I could throw it in the toilet and just like fucking on the internet once a week. Twice a week, really.
Twice a week.
So, you know, I'm not going to waste that opportunity, really, is
say
what
less,
I'm saying.
Say less, say less. Anyways, though. Yeah. Yeah, I think what an excellent quote. The women need a break.
Yes.
Femme-presenting people need a break.
Yes. And I think basically non-men need a break.
And I was reflecting on this because in one of the episodes of Plathville, as we were revisiting it on the stream, I know we keep coming back to this, but this is going to be a really great life lesson to learn, I think, especially, and I don't think this is so much for the men in our audience, because I think they're, I think if you're here, you're probably a little bit more,
a little bit more dialed in.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, the AC turned off, and while I want it to be fall, it's very much not fall here yet. It is still not fall here. So we got distracted. Quick disclaimer also, in this section, we're going to talk about the 4B movement and like how much Ethan Plath sucks, and also about how like cis men generally really need to like fucking pick it up. But we're just going to use binary language for the sake of trying to avoid the word salad, because we have trouble dialing it in already. So when we use the term women, really what we're referring to is like not cis men. Anybody who's not a cis man. We're going to like try to use that language, but like just disclaimer, just don't yell at me, please. Okay, please continue. Sorry, I interrupted you.
So I was just thinking, I guess I was just reflecting.
Yeah.
Because Ethan was talking about like, he's talking about their relationship and reflecting on their divorce and then breaking up. And
yes.
Basically, essentially, Olivia's being like, hey, you don't talk to me, yada, yada, yada. Like, I don't feel emotionally taken care of. And he's like, what are you talking about? I do the oil and I take care of chores and like do labor, essentially.
Yeah.
But like, if it's not the right type of labor, like, it doesn't matter.
Yes. So what they're talking about, Ethan is basically trying to set the record straight, because there is a flashback in this sequence where he made a comment at the end of last season saying something about how, like, you know, I think that, you know, we should have 3 meals a day. And then he like looks at Olivia and it's like, when's the last time you cooked a meal?
Oh, fuck.
And it's this like very disgusting, like misogynistic moment. And I think for good reason, he got reamed both on the internet and like traditional media for saying something that fucking gross. And he is like sitting down in this talking head in like episode 8 or 9 of Plathville, trying to set this record straight about like, well, that's not why I said it. What I meant was that, like, you know, when we first got married, I felt very loved because we did, you know, have like homemade meals and Olivia did cook for me a lot. And that's a way that I feel loved. He used the phrase again that like the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. More than once he used this phrase. So that's what he was like trying to justify this gross and disgusting thing that he said by being like, well, you know, I take care of all these other things so that Olivia doesn't have to like worry about them. And so I just think if I'm taking care of those things, then like she should take care of me in the way that I want to be taken care of, which is like cook me meals, basically.
I just don't understand. Like, you could like pay someone else to do that service without like, it's just like a service. Like, it's not like actually compassion or.
No. And the other thing about it too is that it's not as though he's saying, you know, I miss this part of our marriage where we would cook together, or like I miss us sitting down to share a meal together and talk about our days.
It's
or
not
like
that at all.
The connection that comes from sharing a meal at home or whatever. It was literally just like, I want you to cook for me. I don't really give a fuck if we're sharing the food, if we sit down together, or if there is that connection factor. It's more so that I just want you to do this service for me. You're right, which is like so gross.
And I think full disclosure too, because I did that, like that was my understanding of like a very transactional like if I do this thing then like labor equals love, right? Like if I take care of this thing or like taking care, because you made such a good point. You're like, how often are you changing the oil in someone's car?
Like
that most severe cases really like a couple times or like once every couple of months.
That's the thing that gets me about the way that men talk about like this exchange of labor in relationships, where like, you know, I think that women should take care of our kids and women should cook our food and clean our house and do all of these things, because I, you know, who's going to change your oil if I leave? Like, who's going to mow the lawn if I'm not around? And like, First of all, I can hire someone to do that. But second of all, you're doing that, what, once every couple of months?
Yeah.
Once every few weeks? Cooking three meals a day every single day for the rest of our lives is a thing that you think is proportional to you mowing the frickin' lawn every once in a while.
Give me a fucking break.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Like, besides the fact that this transactional view, like the sort of piggy bank thing where like I'll put a coin in your piggy bank and you put one in mine and therefore we're in love, that's a gross fallacy. It's also not equal, right? Like you're putting a coin in her piggy bank once every couple of months and she's putting like 12 in yours
every fucking day.
Like you're in a deficit, sir. So like pick it up.
I think,
you know,
it's that thing too where like the like stereotypical like the gender roles where it's like, oh, men do the outside and women do the inside kind of a thing.
Yes.
Like,
which
also
dumb.
What a fucking metaphor for like emotional intelligence and relationships, mm-hmm, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
my God,
too,
you're so right. Yes,
because also too, all of these like things, like point, like masculine, like changing the oil and doing stuff outside, and like is all stuff away, and also like doesn't actually really directly benefit.
No,
it's the like cleaning the gutters thing.
Yes,
that we talked about. Yeah, if you want to explain that.
Yeah, Aaron and I have this phrase that has just sort of become like shorthand for like you're missing the point.
You're lost in the sauce. Yeah.
Because there is this weird phenomenon. It became a joke on TikTok like a few years ago, around the time of Thanksgiving, where people would talk about this strange thing that happens around Thanksgiving dinner, where their moms would be, you know, prepping the turkey and cleaning the house and setting the table and like doing all this cooking and, you know, getting herself dressed and ready and getting all the kids dressed and ready and making sure that everybody's all situated, doing all this stuff. And dad's outside cleaning the gutters out before Thanksgiving
dinner. For the family.
Yeah. Or like power washing the deck. Like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why? That's not helpful. And it's a weird thing. Like a lot of people were just talking about how like, oh my God, I thought it was just my dad that did this. He's out there like cleaning out the shed right now.
In the weeds, literally.
Yes. And so it's this funny, it's not funny, but it's like a funny phrase that you and I have used in shorthand to talk about how like when I need help with something or we have agreed like, okay, we're going to do this project and you're like, okay, awesome. You know, like, well, like it happens a lot or not a lot, but like we use this phrase most frequently when we're cleaning the house.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a whole thing where
you are very particular about it.
Well, because we've talked on the channel before that like you're a tidier and I'm a cleaner.
Yeah.
And so you're also like very, like you're very much a Virgo sometimes in the way that you're just like, there's a system.
There's a way,
you know? And so I'll be like cleaning and trying to get everything like situated and whatever. And you'll be in your office, like developing a system to organize the cords that we use to charge all of our various devices. And I'll be like, dog, what are you doing?
That's not helping me right now. Yeah.
No, I'm out here like mopping the floors and you're like you're power washing the gutters, you know, is what with the phrase that we use. Mm-hmm. So that's what that means. But I think it is just kind of that where like what Olivia was asking for is emotional investment and to be seen and valued and to like at the very least just have her emotions be told like that they're okay. And Ethan was like, yeah, but I gotta change the oil.
Yeah.
I gotta go fix this car that I bought that you asked me not to buy that's being stored at a separate location that I'm gonna have to be away from you for several weeks. So gotta go.
Literally.
Like,
I wonder
what?
Too, because Ethan talking about it too, because I was like, obviously I had the same, like at his age,
mm-hmm,
I had the same outlook. You know what I'm saying? Like the same like, because I used to, like, that was the thing. Like, I would take care of all the, like,
oh, yes. But you never, like,
stuff. Not, like, to that degree or whatever. No.
You know?
No, of course not. But, I mean, like, it's just interesting to me, too, because I'm like, is that, like, a societal thing that's pushed on us? Like, where are we learning that? Because, like, my parents are anywhere near, like, the same as, I mean, you know, in some ways.
Yeah. But, you know, your parents aren't fundies, for sure.
No. In no way, shape, or form.
Yeah, not by any stretch of the imagination.
And especially not my dad.
No.
But, like, where, like, we just all, it's just, like, ingrained in us.
Yeah.
Like, it's just interesting that that's something we have to, like, unlearn.
Yes. Well, I think it's also that thing that even if your parents specifically aren't embodying these, like, highly misogynistic attitudes.
Is that just what it is? Yeah.
It still leaches into things, right?
Because,
like, your family of origin is sort of unique in the sense that, like, the breadwinning is backwards, right? And your dad wasn't necessarily a very, like, afraid of femininity kind of person
at all,
but there were definitely aspects of misogyny there.
Yeah,
like I don't want to put your family's shit in the street, but like there were like bits and pieces of that showed up that were just sort of assumed, You know, I mean, and my family was like very similar. You know, it was just expected that my mom would stay home with me and my brother.
Yeah.
While my dad went and worked like 2-3 jobs when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so that was just like the way that it was. And it's also, I think, an interesting case study in the way that our childhood experiences so thoroughly shape our understanding of the world.
Yeah.
People ask all the time about
realizing it too, like,
yeah, about like conflict resolution and communication in like couples therapy and stuff when they're having issues working that stuff out. Like, you know, like, why don't you get what I'm trying to tell you? Or like, why can't you just like listen to me? And it's because the way that your parents dealt with conflict or the way that the adults in your life dealt with conflict become this assumed value for you. That's just like the way that people do things, but like it's not obviously.
I always think it's so interesting too, and I know we keep going back to Plathville and stuff too, but it's just kind of an interesting study too.
Yeah.
Or like an interesting view. Yeah. Is that like, because Olivia clearly was like able to unlearn a lot of the stuff.
Yes.
So it's like when there's this weird commitment from the men, it's because it favors them.
Uh-huh. I was gonna say, you know why?
Yeah,
don't you?
The answer, obviously.
Yes, it's because it's valuable or like
in their
beneficial
interest. Yeah,
it's beneficial for men to just sort of like lean backwards and say, I don't want to unlearn this, right? Because for every woman like Olivia who is saying, I'm not doing that, I'm putting my foot down, this sucks, right?
Yeah.
I'm choosing to pursue a life either with another partner who gets it or by my fucking self because I'd literally rather be alone.
Yeah.
That's another thing that she talked about, is that like actually being divorced and alone feels less lonely to her than being in a relationship with Ethan. And there are lots of people who choose to pursue that. But for every one of those people, there is another person who is like doing the pick me thing that will say like, you know, I just love being, you know, trod upon, uncared for, not emotionally valued person. So pick me, pick me, pick me. And because there are people like that that exist, Ethan is like, oh, thank God.
Just find
somebody
just find,
gets
it. Find the other, another one.
Yeah. Or, you know, I think it's also the thing that it is viewed as feminine, which is therefore bad, to process your emotions.
Oh, yeah.
To think through your own feelings. That's like feminine, which is obviously gay and bad and obviously terrible and like disgusting and, you know, effeminate and weak also.
Like the question is like, is it gay to not care about your relationship until it falls apart? Like,
is it gay to love your wives, fellas?
Yeah.
Like it's literally that.
No, honestly.
Yeah.
So with all that, so the 4B movement.
Okay. Yeah. I want to talk about the 4B movement
today. Yeah. Can you fill me in on that? Cause I'm a little,
cause we talked about it briefly on the stream. I mean, in essence, we can like look something up and read an actual definition, but in essence, it's a movement of people. From my understanding, it didn't originate in the United States. We'll look all of that up in a second. But in essence, the 4B movement is a bunch of people, mostly women, who are choosing to abstain from relationships with men because they're not beneficial to women. Again, we're using binary language for the purpose of ease. Because they're not beneficial to women. And also because it's kind of this like concerted protest to say that like, A, we don't need you, right? Like we have very beautifully intimate relationships with our friends and our communities and our families, not necessarily in a romantic context, but just that we don't need emotional fulfillment from relationships with men. Like we don't need you, right? And so on top of the fact that we don't need you, it's also not worth it to like endanger ourselves and continue to provide benefit to people who are not willing to do the work. So until y'all are willing to do the work, we're not doing it, right? Like we will buy a vibrator and have brunch with our friends every Sunday and live our best lives and like get fucked, basically, is kind of the vibe of that, which is, I think, gaining a lot of popularity because it is like, generally speaking, really unbeneficial to women to be in relationship with men.
Yeah.
Let me look some stuff up, but what are your thoughts about that? Because I know that that's kind of new.
I have like a crazy, like, and I don't think this is actually happening, but I feel like I kind of just want to say this out loud in case I am right, or like if there's some like some truth to it.
Okay.
I guess, so obviously societally, like misogyny and stuff obviously affects women.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that like within the last couple of years, like I know there's always been like dating advice and like like what's that movie, Hitch? Isn't it his whole job is to like help
pick
men.
Pick up artists.
Yeah, pick up artists. Yes, thank you. So like there's always been like male dating advice.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like how to talk to women because they're so crazy. They're from a different planet. You know, like they're not like people.
Yes, exactly.
Which obviously is a very misogynistic take. So anyways, there's like this, been this involvement involvement of this over time. I also think it's interesting that, like, obviously everything nowadays is, like, I feel like 100, like, amped up to 11.
Yes.
Like, also, like, the alpha male, oh, the alpha bro.
Yeah, the alpha shit. Male dating yeah. advice and shit.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So, like, yes. the, like, with the, you know, like, appearance of all that and, like, the escalation of it.
Yeah.
It would be, I'm just, like, connecting these dots because it would be curious to me.
Yeah.
This can sound wild. No. I'm not, like, actually.
Are you going to say something problematic?
No, I don't think so. But, like, okay. just between, like, the Russia spending money on propaganda on right-wing influencers. Hold on. Just follow me for a second.
Okay.
Because obviously, like, but with the 2016 election, like, we know for a fact, like, there was...
That did happen, yes.
And there was clear Russian influence to, like, sway the election.
Sure.
Obviously, clearly it worked. And, like, yeah. disinformation campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the internet and stuff at large, like...
Yes, yes, okay. yes.
I'm just explaining it. I'm going to sound... I feel like I'm not that crazy for saying this.
I'm afraid of what you're going to say, but
no, I'm
continue.
Just saying, what if, like, people are getting paid? Because, like, we always ask ourselves these questions, like, with the alpha bro dating advice and stuff.
I need you to get to the point because you're stressing me out, man.
No, okay, I'm just going to say, like, what if it was, like, a purposeful attempt to, like pushing bad information to make men shittier and worse at dating to, like... It sounds so crazy.
No, just keep going. Okay. I'm just trying to
keep to make men shittier and worse at dating. To be clear, misogyny and stuff already existed.
Yeah.
And like men already suck are bad enough because they have no, like,
I was
lack
afraid that you were going to say the 4B movement is Russian propaganda.
No.
And I was like, sir, no.
No. I feel like it's a response okay. to what could possibly be. What I'm saying is, like, if, okay, so I'm just thinking, like, I know this goes deep, but also there's, like, a whole document about, like, okay. Like this, I forget the words elude me. But anyways, okay, so, like, basically to sow... Like, other countries' best interest is for America to be divided. Clearly, obviously, like, we have, like, yes. regular accounts of, like, fake Twitter accounts pretending to be, like,
yes.
people of color and, like, yes. oh, like, I, you know,
I'm
that
a
whole
black
story.
Woman and I love
yes.
Trump.
And
yeah,
then
like,
we found out
it's
a white
thing.
Man. That whole thing.
Yeah. Or
if
a bot.
People are being paid to spread because also, like, people are so acclimated to rage baiting now and get
yes.
so worked up and, like,
yeah.
also now
myself
our culture
included.
Is very black or white. It's like, you know, yeah. we have to have a big response. Like, the person who, the play date thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like, is
yeah.
this real or not? Like, you just
yeah.
paid me my Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
They made a fake story, if that's even the case.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just like that. So, like, what if there is, like, an entity pushing bad dating advice
to men
in the U.S. because it also keeps them fucking, because,
yeah.
deranged and angry.
Yeah.
Because that's good
yes.
To keep people fucking and makes people violent.
Yes.
So, like, what if this is, like, you know, happening?
Yeah.
Like, we're getting bad dating advice pushed out to, like,
I would not be surprised by that at all.
Yeah, people who are easily, what's the word when you're easy to...
Like, very volatile.
Yeah, volatile and, like, succumb to, like, peer pressure? Or what's the...
yeah, they're,
malleable.
Like, very... Yeah.
I can think of, like, every
very,
word except the simple
suggestible,
word.
Very,
suggestible,
like...
Yeah.
yeah. Gullible.
Yeah. And that sort of thing. So, like, what if it's, like, this... I don't know. I'm just putting those pieces together because that's, like, crazy. But also, at the same time, I'm like, that's not that far off. If,
no,
like,
it's really not.
Because we ask the question.
Go ahead.
We ask the question, like, how are these people, like, there's no way these people actually believe this. Or, like, that one dude with the beard who, like, how to talk to women.
Alpha male,
yeah,
dom or whatever.
We
yeah.
did a video reaction to them. But we're like, there's no way this is real advice. Like,
yeah.
there's no way you've done this. There's no way this has worked in real life.
No,
it's
yeah.
like, so why are you creating this content?
Yes,
like,
exactly. There
has, like, I just refuse to believe, like, these people are so... But also, then I'm at the same time, like, are they so entrenched in these views?
I mean, yes. There's definitely...
misogyny?
There's definitely those people. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of, like, fake information that's being...
You know what I'm saying?
...suggested to people who are already... misogynist.
Like, when you Google something.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's, like, really that far off because we already know that there's a lot of, like, propaganda from Russia or otherwise that's being fed to people on the internet. Like, the homesteading to QAnon pipeline,
right? Yes, that's
right?
what I'm saying. Like, the
yeah.
live your farmland fantasies.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, that's a real thing, right? Like, the divine feminine to QAnon pipeline,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And the, like, I mean, even just regular conservative to QAnon pipeline. And so it wouldn't surprise me if there's, like, a misogyny to QAnon pipeline. Because all of, I mean, in essence, that boils down to a conspiracy theory that ultimately benefits, I mean, not the United States, for sure. It benefits
yeah.
people like Donald Trump and, like, you know, the pedophilic elite. But it also benefits people who... are trying to, like, fuck around with the United States
yeah.
government. So that's, I don't think that's, like, really that much of a stretch, honestly, that there's, like, purposefully bad information being fed to people who are already misogynist
yeah.
to try to further, like, activate them to be violent And like, you know, because the other thing, we can't really talk about this on the pod because we'll get, what do you call it, suppressed into YouTube demonetization Fair. Hell. But the issue of like violence in schools, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
That kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? Because
it's clearly a demographic.
There's a word that I'm looking for and it's not activation.
I feel like that has been me all fucking not, episode.
Also the brain fog from the medications that I'm on, I legitimately, I want you guys to know, I was like, I think I have a brain tumor for like a while because I can't think. My brain. Realized,
oh wait, this started when you started taking. Your
yeah,
meds.
No, it's because these meds
are suppressing your nervous
enough
system.
To like sedate a horse.
Yeah.
What is the word? Radicalize. Whoo, I found it.
Thank
yes.
You. Yes.
Yeah, it's beneficial to people like Russia and other people that are like, you know, fascists.
Yeah.
To radicalize already violent and misogynistic people. Yeah. You know, that's like really not that crazy. I don't think.
Thanks for making me not feel crazy.
I was really afraid that this was turning into the 4B movement is Russian propaganda. And I was like, baby, no.
No, I think it's because women tend to like actually look within.
Yes.
And like, I think that's why I think the Plath thing is kind of an interesting microcosm.
Yeah.
But like for a larger issue, because like Olivia did all of this unlearning. Olivia grew up in the same society and viewpoints as Ethan did.
Absolutely. She did.
But like. This, I think it's just so clear when like one person is willing to do the work and the learning and the unlearning, and like the other person is so committed to their belief system that there's no room for any.
Yes.
Because also there's so many things I feel like they could have easily adjusted their, which is why it's just interesting. Like the 4B movement, like it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the other thing too that's kind of interesting is that men who are, you know, like cis men who are willing to do the work and unlearn all of these things.
Yeah.
Not just in a fundamentalist religious context, but just in the view, like the realm of misogyny generally. It seems like a lot of times people who are unlearning that are often being prompted to do it by the women in their lives.
It does happen
that they just independently unlearn these things, obviously. But it does seem like a lot of times there are people who are like part of a married couple or who are being prompted by family or other people to just kind of like, hey, stop that, right? Like maybe look within. And then they do the work, obviously, and become better people. But for people who are isolated already, it seems like that's kind of less likely, or especially for those people when they're surrounded by other men who are like really violent. Like, I think that's why the Plath family is so fucked up.
Okay.
Because like Kim is such a pick me and also just like a liar and a hypocrite about like a bunch of things. But like all of the men in the Plath family are not like physically violent, obviously, but like emotionally and through their beliefs about women, they're sort of like violently enforcing those on the people around them,
which is wild. It's also wild to see it play out again with Micah and his girlfriend. Like,
I know, I'm very curious about that. I don't think that's gonna go well.
Did you find anything on the 4B movement you wanted to share? Or?
I did, yeah. Okay, so 4B or Four Nos is a radical feminist movement which is purported to have originated in South Korea in 2019. Its proponents refuse to date men, get married, have sex with men, or have children. The tenants, so the four no's of the 4B movement.
Okay, there's like a little, okay.
No sex with men, no giving birth or no children, no dating men, and no marriage with men. So that's like the sort of four, that's why it's called the 4B movement.
Okay.
But yeah, it did start in Korea. I thought I remembered that, but I wasn't sure.
That's what
sure.
I was thinking. I couldn't remember exactly which
one. Yeah. And it has gained a lot of traction here, especially with people who are, you know, I think more, not like chronically online, but just like more online.
Yeah.
And especially people who are being more involved in feminist spaces and especially leftist spaces and stuff, you know, it's kind of like a, first of all, we don't need you. And like, we don't want to have that in our lives because it's just volatile and scary and dangerous. But also, again, kind of like the protest thing of like, we're not doing this anymore, you know? And I think it's interesting too, because a lot of the response from misogynistic men to things like the 4B movement have been like there was this TikTok that we watched a while ago of some man being like, well, you know, if y'all don't want to be alone, then you're just going to have to settle because this is the way that we are.
Yes,
and so,
yes,
you know, get over yourselves and you're just going to have to pick one of us because we might not be great, but, you know, we're all that you have. And like the 4B movement response is to be like, okay, no.
And I feel like
I'm opting out then.
Yes.
And which I think is great.
Yeah. And I think it's that thing too, where like we see couples who are like, oh, we've been married 60, 70 years because they got married in the fucking 40s and 50s.
Yes.
And it's like, Are you together because you want to be together?
Or because no-fault divorce didn't exist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And also, too, it's no surprise to me, too, that, like, Republican lawmakers are trying to bring back...
Get rid of no-fault divorce. Yeah. But also that, like, women couldn't have credit cards by themselves until the fucking 70s. You couldn't have a bank account. And like, of course they were together for that whole time. Where were they going to go?
Also...
Where were they going
to
go?
Honest to God, if I had to date... If I was having to date intentionally and to, like, get married and to make a family and stuff or whatever,
yeah,
and I was aware of the areas which I would not be willing to settle in,
yeah,
like, I would fucking swear off... Men too.
Yes.
After like just the few, the many interactions you've had. Mm-hmm. It never ends. It's always disappointing.
The worst is the men who fancy themselves feminists and talk about how they're like so leftist and so liberal and we're like so with it and all this stuff, and then turn out to be selfish and fucking gross and misogynistic, and then you bring that to their attention and they're like, well, not me, no, but I'm a feminist, look, I have painted nails, I could never be a misogynist.
It's honestly,
and
just
like,
reverse, like,
yeah,
pick,
you are,
it's just like being a reverse pick me, like,
yes,
it's
so annoying, it drives me bananas, because it's just like, I don't know, I feel like unless you're willing to do the introspection about yourself and be like aware of the fact, it's very, to me it seems very similar to like anti-racism work.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like the fallacy of like the, I'm one of the good ones. Yes. Like I'm one of the good whites. And like, no, you're not. No, you're not. No. Like none of us as white people get to escape the fact that we are actively benefiting from the oppression of black and brown people. That's just like baked into the way that our lives are.
Yeah.
And so you don't get
in
to
so
like
ways that
post
you
a few things on Instagram and be like,
I changed my profile picture.
I did it. I'm better. Yeah. Like I'm one of the good ones. Like give me applause now. Like you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
That's not what that's about. You know, it's like a continual journey of like
just because
recognizing and being aware of the fact that like, oh, I fucked it up again, you know, and that's just part
when
of the gig.
Are like that when feminism, it's like, it's essentially the same thing. It's like, I don't see color.
Yes.
Like, no, that's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. That's wrong. Wrong idea.
Wrong
actually.
Avenue.
Yes.
Go flip a Yui. Yes. Go back.
No, not like that.
You need to pick a different turn. Yeah. I think it's really interesting seeing Olivia unlearn all of this stuff in real time, too, because
it is.
Blackville's not as behind as some of the other shows.
I didn't realize that.
On Discovery or TLC or whatever.
And I know this will be like the fifth week in a row we're talking about it, but I think generally, like, I think we should have some like relationship.
Yeah.
We should go over some of our things we've done in our relationship.
Ooh, yes.
To help and learn.
I love that idea.
Because I did used to do that. Like, I would use, like, taking care of the cars, taking care of the outside of the house.
Very acts of service-y.
Yes, it is very acts of service-y.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the love language stuff is kind of fucked.
Yes.
In a way, because...
It was also written by a religious fundamentalist, for what it's worth. Fuck that guy.
So especially fucked.
Yeah.
But also, too, like, you can, like... Like, do I like when you do acts of service for me? Yes, but normally, like, in the... It's like twofold. Like, are the acts of service nice? I can't remember where we talked about this. Maybe you talked about it on stream. But like,
you might have, yeah.
Are they nice? But they're nice because they create an opportunity for us to spend more time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
We're not getting the whole picture. Like, having it watered down isn't enough. Like,
no.
It's in the interest of ultimately, like, all things that we do are in the interest of getting to spend more time with each other.
And not just like spend time together in a performative or like the in theory way, but spend time together in a way that is emotionally connected and emotionally intimate.
Yes.
Right? It's not just like, I want to spend time with you, like, you know, not paying attention to each other or like, you know, spending time together. Like, I know that sitting on the couch and watching TV and whatever is like a valid way to spend time together. We do that a lot.
We do that so much. Yeah.
But like, not just like staring at our phones and like avoiding each other kind of thing, but like watching a show together that we both have an emotional investment in and then talking about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. And sharing our excitement about that and getting to be like nerdy and silly about that and like make jokes and
about something.
Share like, you know, okay, let's have like a little snack together.
Yeah.
And, you know, like all of that sort of serves this purpose of emotional connection. It's not just the sort of point blank, like, you know, oh, well, we're spending time together. It's just, it's not spending time together in the checklist way.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
You know what's so funny? I was just going to say this too. This is kind of a silly, this is a great, we're on the back and the up and up, less depressed now. I think our relationship so incredibly improved when I started eating sweets with you.
Absolutely it did.
I think, because like on the reg now.
Wait, yes, I want to talk about this.
Go, because on the reg now, I'm like, so.
Are we making a
pizookie?
We're
like, it's 7 o'clock. Like, like, so we're having.
It's pizookie o'clock,
you
right?
You want to go get ice cream, right? Like, we're like, well, I mean,
Yeah.
Who I
also just, ooh, that's a good bubble. As a fun fact, if you have an air fryer and you have access to pre-made cookie dough, woo-wee! You can make a pizookie so easily.
Oh, you put make that bitch fat and it'll be all gooey in the middle.
Like a good like handful of cookie dough in the air fryer. M&Ms? Yeah, yeah, we churched up with M&Ms and stuff too. We put that in the air fryer at 325 for like 17 to 20 minutes, yeah, and then
depending on how gooey you like
voila, it's a pizookie. So that's your fun fact for today. But voila. We
and you leave it on the foil and you don't even got to do any fucking dishes.
Yes, it's so great. This is something we have talked about in our relationship though, which is that I think men don't know how to leisure.
I have learned how. I'm so ready for fall so I can leisure. I've been waiting to leisure,
and this was made very evident to me by the fact that we hung out for a little while with some of your friends recently.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting thing because to me, we had like a day set aside to like do some just sort of lounging, right? We were going to like go hang out and like go. I'm trying to like be vague because I don't want to tell you guys too much about our life.
But didn't necessarily have a identified activity.
Yeah. Where there was like a few, it was like that thing where you're like, okay,
very like beach day
today
vibes.
We want to do like thing A, thing B, and thing C.
Yep.
Right? And so like that's all we have all day. And we have like plenty of time, you know, we're just going to sort of like leisure our way through these things. But it was like, okay, thing A as an example, let's say that like thing A was like getting food. Thing B was like having like a, oh my God, you owe Gustafur an apology.
I'm sorry.
Thing B was like, I don't know, doing a crossword puzzle, and thing C was like getting drinks at a bar, right?
Yes.
We would like show up, eat super fast, we're done, get out of here, crossword puzzle, get it done, we're out of here, sit down at the bar, and then like, well, that became the activity really because there were sports. But it was just really interesting to me that I was like, we've got plenty of time, y'all. Like, we don't have to rush around.
Rush?
But it was like a strange thing where like in this group of men, it was like, okay, we got this thing, checked it off. It was almost like, I kept telling you, it reminded me of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where they go to the Grand Canyon, and they go, and they look at it, and they go, well, okay, and they get back in the car. That's what it was like. And I think it's because men don't know how to leisure. It's like this very strange, like, activity and action-oriented view about life, and it, like, robs you of this joy of getting to just, like, be still for a minute and not just, like, be the activity, you know? And so in the time that we've been together, you have gotten so much better at, like, you know, okay, let's just sit down.
I didn't own a pair of sweats until a couple years ago.
Yeah. But, like, now.
What's wrong with me?
We'll sit down and we'll watch a movie or watch a TV show.
Get a little blankies. Yeah, we get a blanket.
We put our sweats on and we get, like, the lights real low. Yeah. We get, like, a little sweet treat. Yes. It's so, like, leisurey and fun and nice. And I think.
And some coffee or tea.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of your friends does this to us too. When we play D&D, he will stand there with his shoes on and his little like crossbody bag on the whole time, and I'm like, dog, stay a while,
please relax.
Like the last time we played D&D was for 8 hours, and he stood like that for almost a full 8 hours, and I was like, are you okay? Like, do you need something, or like, what is going on over there? But it is just like a very male thing of like not knowing how to leisure, you know? I think over the course of our marriage, like, we've had a lot of intentional conversations about it, that like, I don't want you to be present in our relationship as a checklist item.
Yeah.
I want you to like really be here with me, you know? Yeah. And like, stop while you're doing this thing, stop trying to think about the next thing that we're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, be present in this moment with me now, and like we'll worry about the thing that we're doing next. I think for what it's worth, it's also an older child thing though. It's the thing where like, because you're the like, we've talked about this before, because we've gotten in arguments before.
Talk about it, yeah.
Where like, even something as simple as like, oh, are you hungry? And I'll be like, yeah. And I'll be like, well, where do you want to eat? And for you, sometimes that feels like me telling you that you have to decide where we're both eating. But really what I'm asking you is like, what's your preference? Because I know what mine is, but I'm just making space for you to tell me yours. And then we'll discuss that and like make a decision as a team. But because you're like this very older child energy of like, it's your job.
It's my decision
like,
now.
Like make the plan and tell everybody what we're doing. That it's hard for you to like idle down. Our relationship has improved so much in like you being able to be like, oh no, it's not my job.
Yeah.
Right. Like we're a team. We'll figure that out together. Later. Yeah. But for right now, our goal as a couple is to just like be present in this moment for the two of us. And like, it is just a strange thing. Cause I think it sounds sort of silly from the outside, but it does make you feel very emotionally cared for to have someone just be like locked in, you know, what we're doing right now.
That's the other thing too. I think like just the, like, I know we keep using it. This is why reality TV is.
It's a good learning vehicle. I stand by this. Yes.
But also like Micah complaining about the chores and stuff too. Like, why would you not just want to do them together?
That was like, the literal first thing I said on stream.
Because also too, like because also I feel like men do the thing where like, oh, I have to go do this fucking chore, even though they secretly want to do the chore anyways. Yeah. But then they'll be like, oh, you know, like use it as ammunition later or something. But like, if you were just doing it together, then there's no resentment to be built there then. You know what I'm saying? I've had to take, because obviously like stuff doesn't get done exactly when I want it and exactly the way I want to a lot of times. And like same for you. But like also if we're just doing the thing together, then like we're just in it together.
Then it's fine. Yeah.
Literally.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I think projects and stuff like that are a useful way to like circumvent the like, you know, ammunition and like resentment around chores, obviously.
Yeah.
But to some degree, it does also feel like there's a desire in this like very misogynistic circle of men to lean into the like physical act of like performing a chore as opposed to having to have this conversation about their emotions or whatever.
Yes, like they will anything but that. Yeah.
That's the power washing the gutters thing, right? Like I don't want to be inside because that might subject me to these conversations about like, hey, what do you think about like this table setting versus that table setting? If I fuck off outside and mow the lawn all day, I don't have to think or feel. I can just avoid my emotions.
You can just be.
Yeah, which is so fucked.
Especially when it's at the expense of your partner when they're expressing to you.
Well, and also at the expense of yourself.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is so wild to me. I think that's also part of the conversation of why misogyny fucks everybody.
Literally, you know?
Because, I mean, having the lack of emotional regulation and emotional processing because you're afraid of your emotions because all your buddies will think you're effeminate and bad is also, like, you know, causing detrimental health issues in men. Like, it's not a coincidence that men die earlier, you know, for like varying reasons, obviously. I don't know. I think that's actually another thing that has improved our relationship.
What?
Us being more like, I don't know, I guess me being more forthright about like, I don't want you to do, I want you to feel now. Yeah. And for you to like become more comfortable with like the, cause it's very much like an anxiety thing of like, if I keep myself busy, then I don't have to think. Yeah. I don't have to feel.
I talk about
things.
That all the time. I'm like, ooh, I don't want to sit too long with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you becoming more comfortable with being like, okay, I guess I'll sit with that has improved our relationship like tenfold, I feel.
I think that's the thing too, is like looking back on it now too, like the changes that needed to get made in our relationship for us both to feel happy and comfortable and like committed and like in it.
Yeah.
Also, oh my God, I can't believe someone used a clip of us on the pod. We we got put in a video.
I forgot about that.
Let me find their channel name. Yeah, because it was in a video about
Matt and Abby.
Matt and Abby, but we I also love that. Like, our, especially when like I see other people's sets and stuff. Like I'm so very thankful for like this.
I know,
just doesn't
love
look like
our
anyone
set.
Else, and I'm fine with that. I'm so happy with. I'm
Me
actually
too.
Very proud of it.
Me too.
But no, looking back on it while you're doing that is just, it's so funny the things that needed to get adjusted weren't that big of a deal.
No.
Like they really, I think that's the thing too, is like people, I think that's also why therapy is kind of interesting too in that way, is like you can go to therapy. I feel like therapy helps hold you accountable, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's just like practice. It's just like getting, like feeling your emotions are just like repetitions with anything else. It's just like teaching yourself to draw or color.
I was literally going to say it's like learning a sport, but just with your brain.
Learning a language or like you just have to practice it. Like you just have to practice feeling what that feels like, feeling where you feel it, and like learning what to do with that.
Yes,
you know?
Like moving through it. Yeah. Instead of running away from it.
Yeah. It's like not that big of an ask, but it's just something that needs practice.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
It's something that I think vastly improves your life. And I know that therapy is not a resource that's accessible to everyone, obviously. But it is really similar, I think, to hiring somebody to like vocal lessons or like, you know, learning a sport or something.
It's a skill.
Yes. It serves the purpose of like holding you accountable and also giving you somebody to ask these questions of like, okay, well, I tried the thing that you said and it didn't fucking work. So like help me learn how to do this thing in a way that's like specifically makes sense to my brain. Well, and you like move through that together.
Yes. And I feel like it's that thing where like women raise their daughters and love their men. Or love their boys.
No, that was not the phrase.
What's the phrase?
About parenting.
Yes.
We raise our daughters and love our sons.
You got help me get it there.
It's a product of misogyny. Yeah.
Which makes sense then why women who are in their time to find a partner and stuff are fucking tired of doing
They're tired of raising children because they raise themselves and they raise their siblings and they raise their parents. Yeah.
Yes.
They're over it. They don't want to raise another man.
No,
and they also don't want to be put in the position to be a mommy to their partner. Because no one finds their partner sexually attractive if you view them as a child that you have to caretake. But B, that's fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
The agreement for most people.
Kids on top.
The agreement for most people when you choose to partner in a long-term, cohabitating entangled kind of way is that we're a team, bitch.
Literally.
You don't get to be fucking I'm the leader and you're underneath.
Second in command.
No. We're not doing that. Especially when it comes coupled with this expectation that I'm subservient to you somehow. Mm-hmm. That I have to cook 3 meals a day and clean everything and take care of the kids and make sure that I'm pretty and thin and beautiful and I'm wearing my makeup and I snap back after I have kids and that everything is all situated and organized so that all you have to do is come home with your dick in your hand and eat the meal that I made you.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's not surprising to me that women are opt out.
I don't want to fucking do that
pass.
Anymore. Yeah.
I don't want that.
Check a box.
Who would want that?
I will not
that?
Be doing that.
Ooh.
Also, one last thought real quick. I think it's so funny the dichotomy of products, you were talking about this on stream, I think, too, of products that are men are so dumb, here's the thing to help them.
Yes.
But also, men should be in charge of everything.
Yes.
Man not smart enough to use cleaning product, but man run country.
But also, this is part of why that belief system gets upheld. I took a whole course in college about the impact of misogyny and gender roles in the social discourse and especially in mental health. And it was the most illuminating and amazing course I've ever taken. But they talked about how detrimental the passive language is that we use to speak about gendered expectations, because it's not, people often will point to these big to use therapy words big T, as opposed to big T trauma or little T trauma, right? These big moments that people make sweeping and explicit statements about gender as being the problem. And it's not. It's small things how we call men and women girls, mm-hmm. and how in product advertisements, we advertise to women by saying it will make your life easier. It will make it faster for you to accomplish all the things that you have to do.
Yes.
But for men, it's so simple that even a man could do it, and that men babysit their kids and that men get to be silly and we
the fun parent
uphold. Yeah. Men are the fun parent and we uphold this societal expectation, the king of queens thing.
King of queens.
How she is the put together, organized, mature one, and he's just the hapless little guy. No. All of that passive language that we use informs this greater societal belief about how it's women's job to hold everything together, keep it all nailed down, make it all good and organized and run smoothly and so efficient that a man would never even notice that you're working so hard behind the scenes to make all of this perfect and also look pretty.
Yes.
Put a smile on. Can't you put some lipstick on? You look like a corpse. All of this,
Literally,
that attitude is part of why people are opting out of these relationships, because no one wants to do that.
No one
wants to fucking do that.
Yeah.
Of course we don't want to do that. Okay. Also, the YouTube channel that used a clip of us is called Crooked Timber. They put up a video about Matt and Abby's history and also calling Ballinger and that kind of a thing.
Mickey was just watching YouTube on the TV.
I literally clicked on it for the TV.
Mickey was babe. Get out here.
In my my ratty at home clothes, just watching YouTube on the TV so I could hang out with the dog. And I shrunk into the couch. I got jump scared on candid camera. and then I called you out into the living room and I was like, you're not gonna believe this.
I was like, oh no, what happened?
No, it was a really good video, though. It was really good. I highly recommend it. Go watch Crooked Timber's video about Matt and Abby, because it was an interesting watch. There was a lot of stuff about Matt and Abby that I did not know. We might have to revisit that subject, because this tested our marriage by staying in the hospital for 48 hours was the worst of it. And that's probably the most surface level.
No, I feel like we've seen more. I thought
there was some stuff in there that my jaw was on the floor. They are... not
couldn't
well.
Be, couldn't be me.
No, could not be me. Yeah, I just think it's, I don't know. Actually, what are some other things? Do you think there's anything else in our relationship that we've improved? I can think of one other thing.
Being more open.
Do you want me to talk about my thing?
Yeah, I think I got all my, that last one, I think I got all my, the, my big ones out that I think like really would be helpful.
The thing that I think came to mind for me, we talked about this in couples therapy. It's also a really commonly discussed dynamic in couples work generally. Hold on, my mouth is all... You know when you drink something cold and then you have a bunch of saliva? Just me? Okay. There's like a bunch of saliva in your mouth.
Maybe the milk?
After you drink something. Maybe it's the... Yeah, there's like too much flavor in there. I don't know. That's the whitest thing I ever said.
That PSL is way too seasoned. So much flavor.
Pursuer-withdrawer dynamic comes up a lot. And so...
I pursue now. I'm like a fucking shark. I'm like, true. You want a conflict resolved? We'll fucking resolve this conflict.
That's true. Actually, you do kind of do that sometimes. In the early part of our...
I didn't used to be clear. I used to be very much...
No, yeah. Well, in the early part of our marriage, because you hadn't unlearned this, like, fear of dealing with your own emotions and stuff,
yeah,
it would become this dynamic where I'd be like, why don't you see me? Like, why won't you talk to me? Like, yeah, why? Like, I just want to feel like you see my emotions.
Just tell me what you're fucking thinking.
And you would, like, run away, oh, right? Yeah. And so
withdraw.
Yes, but so that also correlated with me being less available to do things that were important to you, like doing the laundry and, like, practical chores and, like, all of the stuff around the house. And I would just sort of be, like, because I felt like I wasn't getting my... like emotional needs met. And yeah, so we were like sort of drifting apart and drifting back together and drifting apart and drifting back together. And after we had done this work to sort of emotionally set our shit right now, there's like way less resentment in our relationship. And so both of us like jump at this opportunity now to be like, okay, like, let me do this thing that I know that is going to be valuable to you, or be like, you know.
I want to do, like.
Yes, exactly.
It's so much, like, that's what I'm saying. Yes. You just do, also, it's just that thing, too, where, like, if you go and have a meal and your friend pays for your food.
Yeah.
And it was, like, $17. Yes. Then the next time you go out and eat and it's, like, $25. And you're like, okay, whatever.
Close
like,
enough.
You'll get me next time.
Yes.
It's not that deep.
Exactly.
Like, I know you got my back.
I feel like we kind of have that, like, attitude now in our relationship much more readily than we did before, because we're both sort of like at different times getting our primary wants and needs addressed. And also, like, if you are struggling or like you're really busy, like this week at work for you is going to be really busy, so I know that like most of the labor for taking care of the dogs and like the house and all of that is going to sort of end up on my plate, but it's like fine, like I'm,
because then as soon as you need
We settle back into normal, then we're going to sort of find our equilibrium again, you know, and it's not like there's a feeling of like, well, great, now I'm going to have to do all this and I'm going to have to chase you down to get you to see my emotions about it. I just know that you're going to be like available to unpack that with me and like be receptive to me being like these fucking pets, you know, and like, God damn it, I hate cleaning this house. And you're just going to be like, instead of being... Or instead of feeling like I'm accusing you or being like, this is because of you, you're just going to understand that, like, those are my emotions about, like,
totally
the situation.
Completely valid.
Yeah. And you're, like, much more open to receive that and be like, absolutely. Yeah. And fuck also, those dogs. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But, like, I think it's just, like, nice to see the, like, exchange there and, like, as opposed to this, like, running in circles thing.
Also, to be clear, for clarification purposes, we love the dogs.
Yes, of course.
They're just a lot. I cannot imagine having kids and dogs and pets.
I think it's also the thing, we've talked about this privately, but you leave the house for your job.
Yes.
I work from home. When I see you guys on Fridays for live stream, that's usually the first time in the week that I've left the house. Like, I don't really leave the house very often, and especially right now, because I'm not leaving a dog with a broke-ass leg at home by herself, especially while she's sad and she's bored. And so I'll sit and, like, body double with her, essentially, because she whines. She cries.
Yeah.
When you and I are in the bedroom for too long in the morning getting ready, she's in the living room.
Talking,
she goes, like, she gets so upset. So, like,
she wants to be where the people are.
Yeah, so I don't really leave the house very often, which I think if you've ever been like a stay-at-home parent or somebody who like in the early stages of like raising a child, I know that my dog is not at all an equivalent to that. I'm just saying it's like
as
probably that, but like with the volume turned down. It's a very similar feeling where you're just like, I haven't talked to anybody all week. I haven't had human contact all week. The only people that the only people that I talk to are my clients.
Yeah.
And so I'm like feeding out, which is not, it's not social interaction. It's also professional. And it's also me like doing heavy emotional work for someone else. Yes. And so like, other than like FaceTiming my friends, I'm not really having like human social interaction except for you. So yes, we do very much love our dogs. And also it is that feeling where you're just like, I'm ready to fucking climb the walls, man. Yeah. Like, I gotta get out of here. It's kind of that thing where like sometimes going to get my Target pickup order, I'm like, oh, God.
The sun.
I'm
gonna go die.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm like, how's your day going? Are you doing okay? How are you?
Like, wow, you are so chatty.
Like asking cashiers questions and like, really, it's fine. You should go.
Please take your stuff. You're like, I finished checking you out 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, no. So yes, of course we love our pets and it's not that we like dislike them or hate them or anything. It's just that there's, I think, an emotional difficulty sometimes in being locked
at
home.
I wish you could just tell them or just communicate to them, like just even a little bit.
All the time. Oh my God, all the time.
Please.
I have legitimately contemplated buying those buttons, the ones that you talk to your dogs. We would never, because Olivia's would just be like, ball, 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 all day. And Savannah's would be like, treats, treats, treats.
Yeah, food, food.
Yeah, so we would never. But I do wish that we could so that I could communicate rudimentary concepts to them of like
we'll be right back.
Grocery shopping. Roughly an hour or two.
Like, 1 hour-ish.
Don't freak out. Also, we have a camera. I can see you.
Yeah.
Like, you're fine. It's okay.
Literally.
But anyways, we should wrap this shit up because we've been
yamming
for a while. Yeah. Thanks for letting me yam on. I know I talked probably more than you did this week, but
I don't think so. I think it was pretty...
Okay.
I feel pretty even about
it. All right. That's fair. Thank you for listening to us yap this week. If you guys like the podcast, you can like the videos. Yes.
I was going to say, let us know what works with your relationship.
Yes. Yeah, tell us things. Tell us the growth that you've had in your relationship. What's made a big difference for y'all. And also encourage each other. Be nice to each other. If you like the episodes, you can like the episodes. You can leave us 5-star reviews and leave us comments for Al Gore's rhythm. And you can subscribe. What?
Al Gore's rhythm?
Yeah, Al Gore rhythm.
Okay, just keep doing the outro.
You can subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next week for the next episode, okay? Bye!
Bye!